Districting Advisory Committee. My name is Shauna Lee. I'm a management coordinator in the City Clerk's office, and I'll help facilitate the meetings until you elect your chairperson and vice chairperson. The first meeting will serve as a means to educate the committee on its roles and responsibilities, as well as the legal guidelines, timelines, and objectives that govern redistricting. What we'll do first is start with roll call of the members, and then we'll go around and introduce ourselves. Please ensure when you're speaking that your microphone is on. There's a button at the base of your microphone that will light up green when it's on, and that will help us to ensure we get an accurate recording of the discussions. So item one, we'll go to roll call. Maribel Alvarez.
Present.
Vanessa Gonzalez.
Vanessa Gallego, present.
Gallego. Thank you. Trey Davon Rhodes.
Present.
Ed Hendel.
Present.
John Aitken.
Present.
Robert Jaramillo.
Present.
Raquel Abel.
Present.
All right, we have a quorum. So next we'll go to introduction of members and staff. First, we'll allow the members to introduce themselves. So which of you would like to go first?
My name is Trey Davon Rhodes. I'm a student at the University of Arizona. Very excited to be on the board and let's get some good work done. Yeah.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is John Aitken. I represent Ward 4. I have been on this particular committee before, and I have the privilege of serving on two or three other City of Tucson committees as well. So,
thank you, John. Who's next? We'll continue with the members first. Thanks.
Counterclockwise. Raquel Abel. This is my first time on the committee. I think I'm part of Ward
3. My name is Robert Jaramillo. I'm a longtime resident of Tucson, Arizona. I have had the pleasure to serve on this committee last time, and I serve on other committees as well that deal with the City of Tucson. Thank you.
My name is Ed Hendel. I am the Ward 3 representative for Kevin Dahl. I was also on this committee in 2022, and I'm also a member of the Citizens Water Advisory Committee representing the mayor on that one, so different wards. And I'm excited to work with you all.
Good evening. My name is Vanessa Gallego. My pronouns are she, her, ella, representing Ward 1 and my first time here. Thank you for having me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Maribel Alvarez. I serve in 2022. I'm a professor at the University of Arizona.
Thank you. Okay, so next we'll go around and have staff introduce themselves. Why don't we start with those who are here at the table?
Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Stash. I'm an attorney with the City of Tucson, and I've been working with my colleague over here, and I think this is maybe our second or third time working with this committee.
Good afternoon, all. Welcome. I'm Dennis McLaughlin. I'm also with the City Attorney's Office, and I'm delighted to work with Jen.
My name is Danny Garcia, and I'm currently the management assistant that oversees the boards, committees, and commission area of the office.
Hi, my name is Yolanda. I'm the Chief Deputy City Clerk. I've been with the City Clerk's office for 17 years.
Hi, my name is Maria Talamante. I'm the Assistant City Clerk, and I've been with our office for 8 years.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jesus Acedo, City Records Manager.
I've been in communication with all of you prior to this and probably will continue to do so for the duration of the committee. So looking forward.
My mic's not going to work. Good evening, everyone. My name's Robert Hunter. I'm an admin staff with the city clerk's office for this meeting.
Hello, everyone. My name is Randy Hamill, and I'm the systems analyst for the city clerk's office.
Great. Thank you. For those of you who have not already met me, and I did introduce myself as Shauna Lee, management coordinator with the city clerk's office. Those of you who have served before may recognize me. I worked with the redistricting advisory committee in 22 and 2020 and 2012. So glad to see you all. Next, we're going to go to a presentation on the Arizona Open Meeting Law. That's item 3. We have a presentation by Danny Garcia from the city clerk's office. Handouts of the presentation have been distributed to you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Danny.
So as mentioned before, my name is Danny Garcia. I currently oversee the boards, committees, and commissions for the city clerk's office. And I was asked to come here today to give you some brief highlights of open meeting law. For the most part, a lot of the elements of open meeting law will be taken care of by our support staff, but we still like to educate our commissioners as they're coming in so that they're aware of all the laws that govern our meetings. So with that said, we'll go ahead and jump into the presentation. So what is open meeting law? Open meeting law was enacted in 1962 and is it a public policy of this state. Sorry, I didn't this one as well. The public policy of, that meetings of public bodies be conducted openly and notices and agendas be provided for such meetings which contain such information as is reasonably necessary to inform the public of the matters to be discussed. It's a mouthful. The purpose of open meeting law requires that meetings of all public bodies and their appointment committees to be conducted openly to ensure public access to the government decisions, since it's the people's business. A common question that we ask ourselves in the clerk's office is, does the public have access? And if not, that is a problem. So what constitutes a meeting? A meeting is defined broadly and includes gatherings in person or through electronic devices where a quorum of members discuss, propose, or take legal action. And within that, a quorum is a simple majority of the members of the public body. Please note, as a member of RAC, you are considered a member of the public. So just a little bit more about quorum. A quorum must be present in order for us to conduct the meeting. For this particular commission, our quorum is 7. So 51% of membership would be 4 people. Some other key components of open meeting law are agendas, legal action reports, minutes, and call to the audience. As mentioned before, a lot of this will be taken care of by our city clerk staff. But one thing that we won't touch on too much today is going to be executive sessions. Executive session is only to be held for specific reasons and not really something that this commission will be doing. A little bit more about agendas. Notices and agendas must be posted at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting. Typically, our support staff gets out agendas about 5 days before the meeting, but open meeting law does require 24 hours notice. Agendas must also contain information that lets the public know about the matters to be discussed and decided. There should not be any vague items on the agenda, such as new business or old business. It should be very specific as what that topic will be. Another requirement of open meeting law does require that we post all agendas. Our two current posting boards, our physical one is going to be out in the City Hall lobby. And then the one that is used more often is going to be on the boards and committees website. At the end of the presentation, there is the website provided as well as our boards and committees email. So if you ever have any questions, feel free to reach out. Now, legal action. Legal action is defined as a collective decision, commitment, or promise made by a public body pursuant to the Arizona Constitution, the Tucson Charter, the committee's bylaws, or the specific scope of the appointment or the laws of the state of Arizona. And once legal action does occur, we create what's called a legal action report. And what this does is it lists all the legal action taken from each agenda item, and it also lists all the members that were present at that meeting. In some cases, there's also a brief description of what occurred within that meeting. Some of the legal requirements is that legal action reports all are due within 3 working days after the meeting. And for subcommittees, they do have a little bit additional time to file that. Additionally, legal action reports will be posted on the city clerk's website for at least a year. Currently, I believe we still have 2020 and 2022 posted on the RAC website. So if any of you would like to see that information, it is currently posted on the city clerk's website. Minutes has a lot of similar requirements as legal action reports. Trying to control both at the same time, sorry. They do have a lot of the same requirements as legal action reports. For this particular commission, there will be verbatim minutes. So it's we're going to send it out for transcription, and it's going to be word for word of what occurred at the meeting. Another requirement is either for draft minutes or an audio to be posted for the meetings within 3 working days of the meeting, or excuse me, 2 working days of the meeting. For this particular committee, since we are sending them out for transcripts, we will be posting the audio within 2 days of the meeting. Next, call to the audience. Looking at previous year's agenda, this commission typically doesn't have call to the audience. But what it is that it's an opportunity for the public to speak if there's any matters that they care to speak about. This is not a requirement of open law. And if the committee chooses, they can limit the total time a speaker may speak. But please note, this should not ever become a discussion. And in response, a member should only request a future agenda item, or a member can respond to direct criticism. And there's more. The public must be permitted to attend and listen. Any member of the public may record the meeting. The room must be large enough to hold the number of people reasonably expected to attend. And lastly, we do like to emphasize that all legal action must occur during the public meeting. Because when it does not, we head into violations. It is a violation of open meeting law if one member sends an email to a quorum of the members that proposes legal action, even if the other members don't respond to the email or take any further action. So please be mindful of your communications between one another. If you know each other, please refrain from talking about any items that may be considered actionable items before the RAC. And ultimately, we just ask to watch those technical devices. Some tips to avoid violations are what we call daisy chaining and the spoke wheel method. So daisy chaining is when A calls B, B calls C, C calls D, and then essentially building a consensus. Additionally, we have the spoke wheel method where one person calls, let's say the chair calls, A calls B, A calls C, A calls D. So that's what we call the spoken wheel method. And essentially both of these are what's considered consensus building, and consensus building is not permitted outside of the meeting. There we go. Consensus building is not permitted outside of the meeting. So please, as we mentioned, use caution with emails and phone calls between meetings to discuss potential agenda items. Additionally, during the meeting, stay on track. Keep to the agenda item as it was posted. No wandering off topic. So just to let you know about the investigation side of it, open meeting law is enforced by the state attorney general and is complaint driven. If you are found in violation, you are personally liable. The city attorney cannot defend you. You will be fined up to $500 per violation, and you will be removed from the committee. Regarding public conflict of interest, we just kind of like to let everybody know, any public officer or employee who has or whose relative has a substantial interest in any decision of a public agency shall make known such interest in the official records or of such public agency and shall refrain from participating in any manner as an officer of the employee. So just to break that down a little bit further, substantial interest means any pecuniary or proprietary interest, either direct or indirect, other than a remote interest. For this particular committee, if you find yourself living on the border of a district, I would definitely bring that to the attention of our attorneys and your chairperson, just to kind of declare that you may have a conflict of interest, and they'll be able to assist you with determining whether that's a problem.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Did you say if we're...
So if I would say, I mean, if you're making a decision about changing the borders or the districts, and you happen to live on one of those borders, that should be something that you declare. Or let's just say one of your relatives lives on one of those borders. That should be something that should be brought to the attention of the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So if it is determined that you do have a conflict of interest, you should notify the chairperson before the meeting. At which point you will verbally recuse yourself from the item, and during the item you will refrain from participating in any manner, including discussing, voting in any way, or attempting to influence. Your declaration of a conflict must be reflected in the minutes of the meeting as well. Everybody, this is the presentation. Does anybody have any further questions? Well, thank you very much for your time. And again, if you do have any additional questions, any of the support staff can assist you, as well as you can reach out to the boards and committees, commission's email. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Does anyone have any discussion on this item? Hearing none, we'll go to item four, which is an overview of the committee's responsibilities, legal requirements, and policy objectives. Dennis McLaughlin and Jennifer Stash from the City Attorney's Office are here to present on this item.
Thank you, Shauna. By mutual agreement, I'm going to do most of the talking, and if Jen wants to chime in, she is most welcome to do so. It might be good to go for you all to go to tab 3 of your books. Couple of things just before I get into the book too much. We want to thank you for serving on this committee, and I would like to thank the City Clerk's Office generally and Danny specifically for their excellent presentation on open meetings. If you have any, I would just second what he said. If you have any questions, please direct them. There's a website that you can also contact any of the City Clerk staff. And as needed, they'll consult us and we will help you answer the questions. We would much rather answer questions in advance of any problems than afterwards. According to the charter and the code, 2024 is a potential redistricting year. It falls on the 4-year cycle, which under the charter started way back. The wording is such, I think, that it goes back to 1932. We've since amended it to also include 2 years after any census, which is why we had it in 2022. But here we are on the 4-year cycle. And in any potential redistricting year, the mayor and council are required to establish a commission, that's you, even if the data shows that a redistricting isn't currently needed based on existing MPD. The current MPD that we are seeing for the city is 2.9%, which is comfortably within the requirements, which I'll discuss with you in just a minute, meaning no redistricting is required this cycle. That's a decision you will make, but legally none is required this cycle. We're well within the MPD. The commission still needs to meet, review the MPD and demographic data, with an eye towards providing a report to mayor and council before the end of the year. And I believe the deadline is November 30th, but we are interested in having it earlier if you can do that. The clerk, I think, will clarify. Relating to any comments or recommendations you may have about that data and the redistricting process. One note, well, I'll leave that until the very end. Now let's go to the book. Tab 3. So we have a kind of a hierarchy of requirements that we have to follow on redistricting. The first one is the federal constitution requirement. This is the holy grail, the be-all and end-all, which is one person, one vote. The one person, one vote requirement of the United States Constitution, specifically the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, requires that members of an elected body be drawn from districts, in this case wards for us, of substantially equal population. There's a concept called maximum population deviation, which I just mentioned to you in the listing. The fundamental goal of any city redistricting plan is to create total populations within each ward that are as equal as possible. The U.S. Supreme Court's decisions measure the constitutional validity through that concept of maximum population deviation. What is the most underrepresented and what is the most overrepresented? And what is the range between those? That's basically what you're dealing with. The MPD measures the total percentage spread between the city's most underrepresented and most overrepresented wards. A city redistricting plan's constitutional validity under one person, one vote is measured by its MPD. The goal is under 10%, which the Supreme Court considers a minimal deviation and presumptively constitutionally valid. Do you want me to go through calculating the MPD, or are people familiar with that? I'm happy to do it. Why don't I quick do it? So determining the ideal ward population is step one of calculating it. The ideal ward is simply dividing the total census population by six, which is the total number of our wards. So that'll give you an ideal ward population. The deviation for each ward is calculated by subtracting the ideal ward population from the proposed ward population for any particular plan, and then dividing the difference by the ideal ward population and multiplying by 100. And that gives you a percentage deviation, which may be positive and it may be negative. And after calculating all of those for each ward, you find the maximum negative percentage deviation, the most overrepresented ward, and reverse its sign to give an absolute value, positive number. Find the maximum positive deviation, the most underrepresented ward, and add those two positive numbers together. And that's going to give you an MPD. And as I just told you, right now ours is 2.9%, meaning in theory, anyway, we don't need to do any redistricting this year. You'll be the decider on that. City charter requirements. Any redistricting plan also has to comply with the Tucson Charter. This is obviously subsidiary to U.S. constitutional requirements. In 93, we amended 8.1, Chapter 16, to state, no redistricting plan shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring or disfavoring any political party or person, nor for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any racial or ethnic minority group. To the extent reasonably practicable, wards will be equal in population and contiguous and compact. And one last point, we do consider jail populations and prison populations because the charter requires us to redistrict based on total population. So those form part of our census population, and we include those in calculations regarding how to redistrict. The last in the hierarchy, still very important, but under those two, is our city policy objectives. I'm on the last page now of tab three. I'm on page, well, it doesn't have a page. It's titled City Policy Objectives. Within the required federal constitutional and charter framework, we have policy objectives that we strive to attain. First, maintain an MPD across the wards that's no greater than 10%. We have that right now. Two, maintain established and recognizable ward boundaries with a minimum of disruption, except as may be necessary to achieve the other factors and objectives. Three is sustain the compactness of the wards as they previously exist, except as may be necessary to achieve the other factors and objectives. And this, I believe, is a recent amendment. While you limit the disruption of boundaries, and that's still a factor, it should not be applied in any way that would prevent other goals or factors that apply, which would include rough proportionality. This is, I believe, a change even from the 22, so just be aware of that. Four is maintain ethnic balance so as not to dilute minority votes. Sorry, oh, it's a question, sorry.
My understanding is that number two was the one that changed as of yesterday, not number three, is that correct?
That right? It is. You're right. Thank you for correcting me. Yes. So I'm at four, I believe. Maintain ethnic balance so as not to dilute minority vote. Five is give preference to options that will advance rough proportionality of minority voting power as defined in Tucson Code 10A44. Rough proportionality means the establishment of district wards where the number of wards in which minority groups constitute a majority percentage of the voting age population is roughly proportional to the minority voter's share of the overall age population. As an example, if the citywide minority share of voting age population is 50%, then under the concept of rough proportionality, the number of wards where minority groups constitute a majority percentage of the voting age population should approximate 50% of the total number of wards. And I think if you need any data on that, I think the clerk will probably have that. Six is give preference to options that reduce dilution that may otherwise exist from prior packing or fragmenting. Packing is putting minority groups all in one ward when they might be distributed more. Fragmenting is breaking them up when they might be concentrated more. And seven is reduce voter confusion by realignment of precincts having populations represented by more than one ward. Again, I think that if we have any of those, the clerk will be able to tell us that. I'll entertain questions, but let me just tell you that the ordinance creating you states formally submit written recommendation. Formally, it says submit written recommendations to the mayor and council no later than November 30th, 2024. Again, if you can get it to us earlier, we can work with mayor and council better, and it will help everybody with the timing. Not a requirement, just if you can. Are there any questions?
Thank you, sir. John Aiken, Ward 4. Two questions. Answer them whatever order you feel like. So the city policy objectives, are those mutually inclusive? And what I mean by that is, do they all have to be achieved, or is there a conceivable scenario where we can get five of them done, but in order to get five of them done, one of them is not going to get done, or something like that?
Yeah, one of them may have to give. There, it's not like, I don't think you can ever have perfection where everything is that way. I think the MPD, anything MPD related is going to have priority. But this is for you to work through and try to balance.
So it's a guideline. It's not a requirement that all seven conditions are met.
Right.
Perfect.
Right.
Second question. Under determining percentage deviation for each ward, it says proposed minus ideal. Should I read proposed as actual? Because we don't know. I'm not sure what proposed means in this context.
Sure. You could say actual is what we have right now. Proposed would be any plan you wanted to propose. That's, I think, what the intent is. That makes sense. Any ideas for redistricting you that said, okay, we're going to have these precincts and these wards, it's going to add up to a certain amount. That becomes the proposed.
So we're going to have to do math.
With our help.
Thank you. Okay. As long as we have smarter people to do math, that's okay.
Other questions?
Yes. I think last time, and I'm trying to look in the historical information from 2022, there was a memo from Councilmember Santa Cruz that had been put before council that explained the rough proportionality in historical context of the Supreme Court decisions of that. I think it was at a point when that language was inserted. I don't recall, but I wonder if that memo could be shared. If I'm recalling correctly, there was some council discussion in early 22 or even between 20 and 22 that referred to that rough proportionality and why that was important.
I'm looking at the historical material, which I'm betting you've also looked at.
I didn't see it there, but I recall something like that last time.
We can certainly search for it.
Oh, sorry, Shawnee, you go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we can look for that memo or anything similar to it if we can't find that particular one and distribute it to the committee.
Sure. Yeah, if we have that, we'll be glad to get it out to everybody. Other questions? I think that's all I have. Thank you.
I do have a question. The difference between number 4 and 5 is a little bit unclear to me. I'm just trying to make sure I understand dilution, packing, fragmenting, and rough proportionality. They're all kind of tightly related. Is number 4 really like a different goal than number 5?
I think 4 is a little more generic about who's in what ward, as opposed to whether how many wards we could have with certain populations. I'm not sure I can explain it much better. Jen, do you want to
correct me if I'm wrong? I think my understanding of the two is if you're looking at like one group of minorities versus looking at minorities as a whole. So not to dilute just one specific group, but to make sure that we're, that makes sense? That kind of, not like we're not going to pick out just one particular group of people and say we're not, we're going to make you rough proportionality, but, and then the ethnic balance. So not to move like one group into another group so that.
So what is the definition of dilution? I think I found something in the historical information, but it's a bit vague. And then in the new one, I don't see any.
I think Jen did a really nice thing in 2022 on dilution.
Yeah, that's why I recall that those things were defined in that memo that I'm vaguely recalling.
Do we have those memos, Shauna? Can we have a kind of a group of historical memo?
We can look through the material from 22 and see what we can find that may address the questions here. Yes. I don't know if it was generated in 22 or if it was just presented in 22, but I'll.
Yeah.
If it's the memo I wrote, I think I wrote it in 2020, but I think it was relevant to what we discussed in 2020.
Okay. That will help us.
But there's, Dennis also has a few that were in there last time. Okay.
Thank you.
We can certainly look for that one as well and bring it back to the committee.
I have one more question. Sorry.
Sure.
This is definitely a lawyer question, but it's actually probably about Mr. Garcia's presentation, and he's gone now. Sneakily avoided my question.
We'll do our best.
No, it's definitely a lawyer question. Typically, open meeting laws, talk about, let me give you the scenario. Like I've gone through sunshine law training like 20 times, right? And it's never been addressed in this particular way. So like if I were to, for some reason, bump into Robert at the grocery store and he and I started chatting, that's actually not addressed by open meeting laws because it's okay, because it's just two of us. There's not a quorum. This presentation actually addressed a quorum when I've always understood it to be three or more members, even if it's not a quorum. And I'm just wondering if, do you agree with that? Like, so if the three of us got together, even though we're not a quorum, but we can't vote on it, we could still influence the proceedings at that point. But if it's just two of us, legally, it doesn't matter. I'm wondering if we can get an opinion on that, please, Your Honor.
So my instinct, just to be the prudent advisor, is, right, I don't think of it in terms of, well, three's bad, but two is good, or two's okay. You never know what's going to happen as between the two of you when you talk about things. Like, do you then go and talk? Does it become an unintentional daisy chain or like a two-member daisy chain? You talk to someone else and Robert talks to somebody else. And, you know, it's more we just try to keep everybody within the meeting as where they talk about things.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think there's any magic to numbers. I don't know if that helps you.
Couldn't there be also a misconception when they see it through us together? What are they discussing?
Right.
I've always thought that, hey, that's a big no-no. So I would just say, don't do it.
It was right. Just a technicality I hadn't seen before.
No, it's a great question. And it often comes up because a lot of people have that in their head.
Yeah.
It's, and we think of it just more of a functionally, it's dangerous. So baseball standings and how about those fill in the blank? That's great. not on redistricting.
I want to add to that it's even more important because I don't expect we'll have the contentious debates we had last time, but the public perception is that you guys got together and you cooked this up, and I know you did, and if you are able to stand firm and say, we actually did, and all of the debate is what was on the record, because we can control the perception that some of us are leaning in some way, and so I think because of that, it's even more important to just simply avoid it, because legally you know then that you can speak with a clear conscience that you really didn't conspire with other members except in the public conversation to persuade one another, which persuasion is okay.
But I really like what you're saying. We encourage that attitude.
Thank you, Dennis. Is there any other discussion on this item?
Yes. You mentioned that the prison population is included. But one of the item number five, the rough proportionality, talks about voting age population. And I'm not completely certain about this, but I think felons aren't allowed to vote. Is that correct? So would they be considered voting age? They can't vote, but they are old enough normally?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say so. And it's not a blanket. In most instances, felons lose their rights to vote, but they can be reinstated. There are some different mechanisms, but I think it's more of a, what's the population of this area? Not necessarily who are the eligible voters of this area.
Right.
Right. But number five is specific to eligible voters. I think the other numbers are just any people, but number five specifically mentions voting age population. So I just wanted to see if that counts. And then are the numbers that we have in our packet in tab number five, those all include the prison populations? Is that correct? And the maps, like the maps in tab four, those also include the prison populations in the actually, do those have the numbers yet? Last time when we got maps, they also had numbers in a little table at the bottom. Yeah, so there's that one, but also the maps. Do the maps have, or I guess Do all the numbers we're going to be getting throughout this process have the prison population included?
They're all census-based, so I'm thinking they should. And the clerk can, I'll defer to the clerk on that, but that's my understanding.
Yes, the numbers will reflect the prison population as well.
Okay. And to your question about five, that's true. That is the only one that has voting age population. And but I think it that's one where considering all of them, and as Jen said, it's a total population. So you that can be a I guess a factor that if you need that, we can get that. But most that is the only one of the seven that isn't going to be a total population base.
Thank you.
I hope that was somewhat understandable.
It does. That answers my question. Thank you.
Anyone else?
You guys have good questions.
Yeah. Okay, with that, then we'll go to item five, which is the redistricting timelines. So as mentioned earlier, the committee's written recommendation is due by November 30th. However, to allow mayor and council the opportunity to provide feedback on any potential revisions to the recommendation, the committee may wish to have it completed by October 30th. If, after considering the committee's recommendation, the mayor and council decide to redistrict, that must be done by December 31st. Those are the timelines for you to consider. Keep those in mind when we move on to the next item. But is there any discussion on this item? Okay, then moving on to item six, setting a date for the next meeting. Does anyone have a preference for the next meeting date?
Wednesday at 5:30 works best for me personally.
When are we looking to meet next? I travel a lot for work, and so I need to be very planful of my meeting time. So when are we looking to meet next? How far? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Do we know? Do we care?
That's up to the rest of the members.
I know. I'm looking at you. You're in charge right now.
I'm able to meet next week if the rest of the board is okay with that.
I actually have a board meeting of an organization that I'm the president of on the one Wednesday evening per month, including next Wednesday. So I was mistaken. I'm not available next
week. Yeah, I'm in Florida all next week, so that definitely will not work. But
We can join via Microsoft Teams if we're not here, yeah. Right? Does that count towards quorum if we?
Yeah, sure.
I think we did that last time.
I'm getting an indication that yes, we're going to allow remote attendance.
Well, I have a thought, which is that we don't really have to do a lot of deliberation between now and the next meeting since we don't have like new maps to study, right? So why don't we just do it like very soon, this Friday or something like that?
Okay. Robert Jaramillo, I won't be available on Fridays. My preferred date would be on a Thursday, to be quite honest with you.
Why don't we say Monday the 9th?
I think one comment, this actually leads me to a question that I had for staff. Is that appropriate at this time, related to timelines?
Sure.
In 2022, we unanimously passed a vote to include in our letter to mayor and council to start this process as early as possible, and we were thinking like around January. Obviously, that unfortunately did not happen, but last time we were very rushed, and that caused a lot of problems and a lot of complaints from the public that we were, you know, ramming things through, et cetera. And we all felt at the time, if I recall correctly, that they had a fair point. They were reasonably upset about that, and we were stressed out as well trying to do these things on such short notice. So I guess my general thought is that we should try to move, is that we should try to get the ball rolling as soon as possible. Because last time we had an issue where we'd come up with a new map, we put it out to the public for a hearing 3 days later, 4 days later, and a decent percentage of the comments we got were, how could you guys only give us less than a week to prepare for this? You know, this should be like a months-long, year-long process. So I do think we should try to move quickly and get the ball rolling if possible.
John and I spoke about Monday the 9th as a next meeting date. Does that work for everybody?
It'll work for me.
Monday the 9th. Okay.
Shauna, can I just suggest at the next meeting that you use the meeting to decide whether you're going to go for a redistricting or you're going to go with a recommendation that the attorney's office has made, and then proceed with what the process should be moving forward and use those meetings to do that. If you're going to redistrict, then yeah, we're going to have to start meeting probably on a weekly basis because we don't have enough time. But if you're going to decide not to redistrict, but put out a plan, a timeline, the process of what you want to see moving forward for the next redistricting, then you have a little bit of time to do that in.
Could we try to do something next week? I worry that the 9th is starting a little bit late. Also, I have a dentist appointment on Monday the 9th.
Well, as I indicated, I'll be in Florida next week. So, I mean, you can do it without me, and that's fine. Just don't nominate me as chair. I'm not here.
Would you be able to meet remotely next week, or? Or is your preference just to be here in person?
I mean, if you guys are cool with remote, then sorry, just give me a sec here to look at my work calendar.
Just the 4th. Some Wednesdays I am available, but once a month I have a board meeting that I have to run it, so I can't miss that.
So I think the 9th may be a really good option.
I can't make it that day. I'll be across town at the dentist getting tortured. What about tomorrow? It's at 4:30.
I'm not meeting tomorrow. Sorry, man.
You also have to be mindful of, I think it's
staff too.
Well, staff, and then we have to publicly notice. So we have to make notice of when.
What about Tuesday the 3rd?
So
if you could join on
I'll be in Florida next week.
Join on Zoom, or is it just not possible?
No, next week you have to take into consideration next week's a holiday.
Yeah, it's Labor Day on Monday, so.
Monday, so right. People will probably be traveling.
You could miss on Monday the 9th.
How about Wednesday the 11th?
Great.
Thursday the 12th?
Wednesday the 11th.
Wednesday, 11th.
Wednesday the 11th won't work because that's a mayor and council meeting day.
Wow.
For us.
Well, tell them to wait.
So for September, it's Wednesday the 11th and the 25th. We can't meet.
So we're back to the 9th.
So Wednesdays are not going to be great.
Tuesday the 10th?
Tuesday the 10th.
Yeah.
Not Tuesday the 10th.
Tuesday's bad.
Will you guys accept this commission?
No, I have a conflict in meeting where I'm also a school board member, and we have our school board meetings on Tuesdays.
Just kidding. So. I'm just
always
kidding.
On Tuesdays. So we're back to Monday the 9th.
Yeah.
Does it have to be at night?
Good point.
It does not have to be at night, but if that's
with the public,
what works best.
I'm just saying, as an exception, we could do it at different times. I work from home usually when I'm not traveling to Florida, so I could make a lot of that work.
Monday the 9th before 11 a.m. works for me. I have classes at 11, so
and I teach at 9.
Yeah.
In the morning.
I'm checking the 5th. I could do it at night, but I'd be remote.
The 5th, you're saying?
I could do Thursday the 5th, but I would be remote.
Yeah, but that day, the mayor and the city are rolling out a very important plan of their arts and culture event. Is happening that day. The Somos Uno plan event is happening that evening at 5:30. The 5th.
So we're back to the 9th.
John, you're okay with joining remotely?
If I have to, sure.
If John is okay joining remotely, then I think then we can just pick a time, pick a date. Does next, you said next Monday, the 2nd works for you?
That's
Monday's a holiday.
I'm sorry. Yes. What about the 3rd?
The 3rd works.
Is the 3rd work for you?
I can't do the... No, I was talking specifically about the 5th.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
I was talking specifically about the 5th. The 3rd, I cannot do remotely.
What about Friday the 6th?
Sure.
Yeah, that works.
I won't be here.
He can't, yeah. Can you join remotely?
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble keeping track of all that.
Okay. I think we're at the 9th, except for you,
ninth,
sir.
Yeah, the 9th on Monday. And then you can join remotely.
9th and the 13th.
Well, I'll be at the dentist, so I would not.
At 5:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is terrible timing, I realize.
Well, I mean, it's short notice. That's okay.
That happens.
So the 13th? I mean, I realize it's a Friday. Oh, you can't do Friday night.
I think Friday.
He cannot do Friday.
That's the question. Period.
Okay.
Friday.
Right. Friday night's not.
Friday.
What happened with the 10th? I can't remember.
The 10th works for me personally.
I'm not available on the 10th.
What about the 11th?
I can, but we have a board.
Oh yeah, we have
mayor council meeting.
Crazy time.
Well, 16th. I mean, now we're. That's not great in terms of pushing it, but we should all be here.
I would be remote.
I think we should settle on the 9th.
Actually, no, I'll be on an airplane on the 16th at night.
Yeah. I think because of scheduling conflicts, we just have to go with the majority who can all be here. And I think the majority of us can be here on the 9th. So I think we should go with the 9th.
Well, I would prefer to be here.
What about the 9th, but earlier that afternoon?
What about like 1 p.m.? When does your class end?
Morning only.
Morning?
Yeah, I could only stay until.
I got a lunch meeting.
Monday at 12:30 works better for me.
Works for me.
Day is that?
Monday the 9th. 12:30. Or 12 actually would be a little bit better.
Noon.
Bring us sandwiches.
What 12 work for you there?
12 on Monday the 9th, yes.
John does 12 Monday and 9 for
you. I mean, I'll have to move my work schedule around a little bit, but I can, I guess, if we need to.
I think that settles it. 12 Monday the 9th. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
And just to clarify, the meeting would need to end by, was it 2? 2:30?
Yes, by 2 would be good.
By 2? Or you need to leave by 2:15 at the latest.
Yeah. A different courthouse, but I need about 15.
Okay.
So you said noon, right? That day.
So we'll aim to keep it under 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Should we consider trying to lock in a weekly date for after that so that we avoid having this problem next time? Like every Tuesday starting on the 17th, for example, or just throwing something out there? Or every Monday,
Here's what I'll propose about that. It's not a bad idea. First of all, can I ask an administrative question? Jesus, are you the primary like communication person? You will be? Okay.
Yes, I will be.
Cool. I'm pretty confident to say that scheduling can be done over email. This isn't covered by open meeting, right? You can do scheduling without worrying about that stuff.
Through Jesus.
Yes. Cool.
Yes.
I would.
Don't talk to each other.
Okay. Promise. But I'm pretty sure it's not covered. Anyway, I would propose then that maybe Jesus sends out a myriad dates and we can like look at the calendars. Because honestly, trying to sit here right now, staring at our phones, figuring out what calendars work might not be great. But if he could send out some scheduling options, that way we could have some time to think about it and do that. Is that cool with you? Great. Sorry, I didn't give you a chance to respond. I just assumed you were going to say yes.
Okay, so it sounds like we have the next meeting scheduled for Monday, September 9th at noon. Is that correct?
Noon to 2, plus or minus? Usually minus?
Can we do like noon to 1:30, 1:45?
We can cut it as short as you guys want or let it run as long as you guys want.
All right, sounds good, yeah.
That gives people time to stress. We don't know why you're going to court, but you don't want to make it worse.
My daughter told me to quit telling people I had to go to court because everybody thought I was a criminal when I said that.
Okay, that was not my first assumption, just to be clear.
Okay, and then Jesus will work on people's availability for future meetings beyond Monday, September 9th. Yes, Dennis, it looks like you have something to say.
If I can suggest, if we're able to find things that people wanted us to look for, people should be watching because we will, Jesus will send those out, right?
Yes. Yes, if we can find the memos that we were going to look for, if we find them before the next meeting, we'll distribute them via email. If it's closer to the meeting date and time, then we'll just have them here at the meeting for you.
I want to say something on the record just to start us thinking. I think that with the maximum population deviation being less than 3%, we're not under the pressure of any compliance, which also opens the opportunity for us to be very creative about things that we want to do in terms of education, in terms of awareness, in terms of understanding of the process. There's a lot of confusion about these Supreme Court regulation wordings, aspirations, minority districts. So I just want to put that on the record that our next meeting could be a really substantive meeting about things that we really want to do proactively as citizens, as opposed to like having to respond to a pressure for a compliance issue of population inequity. So just start thinking that way may be helpful for our first. Proactively as citizens, as opposed to like having to respond to a pressure for a compliance issue of population inequity. So just start thinking that way may be helpful for our first deliberation.
May I go back to, scheduling thing real quick? I would ask or suggest to make Jesus's life a little bit easier that we maybe email him. Like, you're a school board. I'm actually on another City of Tucson City Streets thing. I don't know what it's called. You're on another City of Tucson one too. So that might be helpful for him to know that. So like when our meetings are, because I think I know when my next couple of meetings are.
Thank you. Anything else on the next meeting date?
Stop talking. Turn off his mic.
I have some questions that are not related to the next meeting date, so should I wait on that? Like what? About the data, some of the stuff in the binder.
We can either go back to an item that it would fall under, or we can cover it under future agenda items. I will defer to the attorney's office on where that would best fall in terms of the agenda.
I feel like we should be careful about getting too much into data right now. But if you have something you want to suggest for future agendas about data, kind of on a skeleton basis, please mention it.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you. So a couple things. One, in 2022, we asked mayor and council to start engaging the public 1 year in advance of the redistricting deadline via either via the redistricting advisory committee or a redistricting task force. Has there been any kind of task force or anything we should be aware of as we study and prepare?
So that can be something we discuss later, but I think I can answer that right now to say no.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
There can be future discussion about that.
Yes. Okay. Another one, some of the information here specifically regarding rough proportionality refers to the voting age minority population. And I didn't find that data in the binder. In tab number, where is it? 5, we do have the population of each ward, the racial demographics as a percent of the total population, and the percent voting age. But I believe that in order to properly study the rough proportionality goal, we would need a little bit more data. So I'll just ask if we could have this data by the next meeting, which would be the total minority population of the city of Tucson that is voting age. I wasn't able to find that in here. So just, I guess that would just be a single number, right? The percentage of Tucson's voting age population that is minority. So I'd like to request that, again, just one number.
Citywide or by ward or both?
Well, I would like both, please. Yes, both. So in other words, seven numbers. One that's the total city and then one for each ward. We have pieces of that in here, but nowhere are they actually laid out precisely. And we don't have enough information to calculate that ourselves. Does that make sense? I can clarify. Okay, great. Thank you. And one other piece of information I'd like to request at the next meeting is in our packets at the last tab, which is tab 8, historical information. In 2020, there are two proposed ordinances that both say adopted by the mayor and council, but neither of them has the signature of the mayor. And so I don't know which one passed. Now, I looked at the maps and I think I figured out which one it was. But it looks like from the information in here, the Redistricting Advisory Committee in 2020 recommended two maps. And I have the proposed ordinances for both of them in the notes, and neither of them are signed. So I would like to ask for clarification on which of those was passed, just to make sure we are all on the same page about that.
Certainly, in theory, that is doable. We will track that down.
Thank you.
Okay, continuing on with the future agenda items then. So for the next meeting, please be prepared to elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson, as well as be ready to determine a more concrete schedule for future meetings. One item you may wish to consider adding is call to the audience, which, as Danny mentioned, is not required by law, but is usually included to allow the public an opportunity to speak. Is that something you would like to include, a call to the audience? I'm getting a couple head nods. I've got 4 head nods. Okay.
Do we need to set any rules on that as far as how many minutes people can speak or how long, when we stop inviting new people, like
that would
30
help.
Minutes or something? Is that set or do we need to decide that?
It's not set. For the mayor and council, they allow 3 minutes per person for a total of 30 minutes for a call to the audience. Yeah, so if each person takes the full 3 minutes, it's a maximum of 10 individuals who get to speak. It's up to the committee to decide how they want to restrict or not restrict that time.
What's the mechanism which people sign up? Do they, is it a physical document or is they just, how do they sign up to speak?
We can have what we call speaker cards available where people fill out their information, their name, which agenda item they would like to speak on, or if it's just a call to the audience. You know, it's not on regarding an actual agendized item, but they have something regarding redistricting that they want to say.
So if it is amenable to the committee, I would ask that if we do have speaker cards, there is clear disclaimer language on there that states that not only are we not going to respond, but we actually can't respond. Because there's, in my many years of calling to the public, there have been people that get super upset, but are like, I want to talk about it. We're like, well, we can't. Sorry. It's not on the agenda.
Absolutely.
Can we do that?
Yes.
Thank you.
So that'll all, those will all be items we will discuss at the future meeting. Be ready to discuss. Yes.
I have a question. Can we adopt as a general rule that any call to the audience can happen at any time that we meet, 30 minutes limited? But can we also decide later to have a meeting that is a special study session where the public is actually in a forward way invited to for a longer period of presentations, conversation, dialogue, understanding presentations from the city clerk? Is that also possible that it's not limited to the 30 as the normal operations of call to the audience?
Yeah, even if you set a time limit, the chair can always extend that time, whether it's for an individual speaker or for the total 30 minutes. You know, it can run for an hour, however long. You know, if the committee sets a time limit, the chair can extend that.
That's definitely something you can do.
Yes. But you're asking specifically for separate and discrete study sessions.
Yeah, like if we decided that one of our future meetings is going to be just us listening that day for and then publicize that in a wide manner. So it's like we just really want to hear your ideas and your understandings and specifically call for a meeting that is for that purpose. That could be a 2-hour meeting of people talking to us.
Yeah. As long as it's posted properly, sure.
Well, you know.
Shauna, those type of meetings can be scheduled as either like a public hearing or a town hall with, and it doesn't have to be here. It could be in a ward office to allow more people to come and give their input on whatever it is that you guys are asking for.
Okay, any other items you'd like to add to the agenda for the next meeting?
Donna, sorry, just for certainty, did you mention election of officers?
Yes.
Good.
So what is the currently planned agenda for the next meeting?
It'll be the election of officers, determining the schedule for future meetings. Call to the audience. We'll have speaker cards which indicate that the committee is not allowed to engage in conversation with the speakers. And then we're going to have information. Ideally, we'll get it to you before the next meeting, but the information that you've requested regarding the total minimum or total minority voting age population in the city and by ward, a 2020 adopted ordinance and map, and then the memos that were requested regarding dilution and Let me check my notes.
And sacking and fragmenting.
Oh, rough proportionality.
Okay. I believe Dr. Alvarez mentioned some sort of discussion period where we can talk about, but then also I think I remember earlier in this meeting, there was someone said that you have to keep it very specific, right? So is there a way to have, I like your idea of having a discussion. Is there a way to do that in a way that complies with the meeting regulations?
Well, that's a study session. That's non-agendized.
But Yolanda did
mention not that one. What she
should
said.
Discuss whether we are going to this. To
so you do want to put something on the agenda that's going to allow you to discuss what it is you want to talk about and what it how you want to move forward. So I don't know how you're going to title that, but it should include all the various types of things that you guys are looking at.
Well, this typically wouldn't you just list it on the agenda as a discussion item and not an action item? Because if it's listed as an action item, then you have to vote. Right. So as long as you specify it on the agenda, you're
discussion
good to go.
Of
right.
The redistricting process, yeah. Whatever, however you want to word right. That.
As long as it's delineated on the agenda, you're good.
So can we add that? Because I think, yeah, Dr. Alvarez mentioned not the study session idea, but before that, you made a statement about wanting to talk about, you know, creative solutions and things like that. So I just want to make sure that's included. Sorry?
We're going to discuss.
No, we're going to discuss what we want to do for redistricting, what we want to. Just ideas of how to proceed, right? I think that's a good idea because I worry that if we wait until, you know, mid to late September to start getting into the substance, we're going to run into all the same problems we hit last time. And so I'm just trying to see if we can get the ball rolling as soon as possible.
Question. Now, clarification. If it's on the agenda as a discussion item, it's just a discussion amongst us here, not to include the audience. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah, the audience. Yeah. Now, in the study session, it's a whole different ballgame. Right. Am I correct?
Our meetings are meetings of the commission in public. They're not public meeting commission, exactly. Public commission meetings. Yeah. It's a distinction I was plastered all over the news for right. Yeah. 5 years ago. I'll give you that story later.
Yeah,
that's a very good point. And I would just kick in to say a lot of people don't understand that, or it's the mirror image of the fact that the public is allowed to attend. These meetings are for you to discuss, not for the public automatically to think they can get involved and discuss with you. You have a limited time, and you're allowed to say, this is for our business. So the points are really good. So I don't know if I made that clear, but.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
You can allow public input. I'm not trying to say that you can't, but the presumption is this is for our business.
So the agenda will contain one item that would allow us to have ample discussions about options moving forward, whether we decide to redistrict or not, what we learned last time. All of those things will be put under that agenda. Great. Thank you.
And that will probably be the meat of the meeting. Yes. Any other items for the next agenda? That then we go to adjournment. Time is 6:50. We will see you Monday, September 9th at noon. Yes, same time or same place, different time. Thank you all.